Look in the Sefer HaChinuch in Parshas Truma. It says there are three mitzvahs in Parshas Truma. Va'asu l'mikdash, that's one of them. And then the other two are one more obscure. There's the mitzvah of Lechem Apanim that appears in Parshas Truma, and also the leisas, and not to remove the badim from the aron. That's right. Those are the three mitzvahs in Parshas Truma. It's surprising that there are so few, because when you look through the psukim, it says to do a lot of things. It says va'asu arayin. It says va'asisa shulchan, va'asisa menayra. It talks about the krushim and the uriyas as well. But certainly those, the arayin, the shulchan, the menayra, you'd expect that would make it onto the list of tariq mitzvahs, but they're not. They're not in the minyan of mitzvahs. So the Rambam addresses, the Rambam tells us why. The Rambam talks about it in Sherish Yud Beis. The Rambam Sefer Mitzvahs, so he lists the 613 mitzvahs. The Rambam was not, by any means, the first person to make a list of the 613 mitzvahs. A lot of people did that. It's all based on a Gemara. There's a Gemara in Makkos that says there are 613 mitzvahs. And many people came along and tried to fill in the details. What are the 613 mitzvahs? The Rambam is one of the many that did that. But what's unique about the Rambam Sefer, what he was the first and almost the only one to do, was before he starts his list, he has 14 what he calls sharashim, 14 rules for determining what should go into the list and what shouldn't go into the list. So it's a much more, right, that makes it a fatter safer, yeah. But it's much more of a premeditated list. I mean, maybe they're all premeditated, but over here where it explains what the thought process was in choosing what to include, what not to include. And that list of 14 shurashim, so if you take a look at Sherish Yud Beis, the 12th rule that the Rambam gives, is that when you have a mitzvah that has many, many parts, a mitzvah is comprised of different parts, so we don't count each part as a separate mitzvah, the whole thing is one mitzvah. One of the examples that he gives that's, I think, a very easy or obvious one that nobody would dispute, is that there's a mitzvah of chalitza. If you have a woman that falls to Yibam, or her husband dies with no children, there's a brother, so she falls to Yibam, but they don't want to do Yibam, so there's an alternative of Chalitza. So that's one of the mitzvahs, it's one of the Tariq mitzvahs. How do you do Chalitza? Well, first she takes off his shoe, and then she spits, and then he says that I didn't want to take her, and she says, right, she reads from the Pesukim that he didn't want to take me, each one has a portion from the Pesukim, so there's four parts to the mitzvah. There's the chalitza itself, the pulling off of the shoe. There's the rikika, the spitting. There's his kriya and there's her kriya. So maybe it's four mitzvahs. The pasuk says do this and do this. But the Rambam says nobody would think that's four mitzvahs. You have to do chalitza. And there's parts that make up what a chalitza is. So the Rambam says that whenever you have something that fits that model, you count it as one mitzvah, not many. He says that he's upset with some of his predecessors that they counted. Let's say when they were talking about the Karma Mincha, they said there's a mitzvah of Belila, and a mitzvah of Pesisa, and a mitzvah of Kemitza, and a mitzvah of Haktara of the Karma Mincha. And the Rambam says, no, there's one mitzvah, you bring a Karma Mincha, and then, yeah, you open up the Chumash, and you see what are all the steps of bringing a Karma Mincha. So in that same Sheirish, the Rambam writes that there's a mitzvah of Vasuli Mikdash, Vishachanti Beseicham. That's a mitzvah. Of course, you don't just snap your fingers and there's a mikdash, there's a lot of parts. So you have to build the walls, you have to put on the roof, you have to put in the shulchan and the menorah and the mizbechais and some other things. But all that is part of vasuli mikdash. So therefore, the Rambam says, it's cute the way he writes that, he says, you don't count each vasisa as a separate mitzvah, referring to what we read in Parshas Truma, vasisa shulchan, vasisa menorah. You don't count each vasisa as a separate mitzvah because they're all parts of the larger mitzvah of making a mikdash. Now, the Ramban has hasagas on the Sefer HaMitzvahs, where often when we talk about the Sefer HaMitzvahs, we mention the Rambam, and then the Ramban is disputing something. Over here, the Ramban says he agrees with the Rambam's decision not to count Asiyas HaShulchan, Asiyas HaMenorah as separate mitzvahs, but he disagrees with the Rambam's reason. He says that he doesn't think that it's included in the general mitzvah of Asuli Mikdash, but he also says that it's Sherish Yud Beis. It's the rule of Sherish Yud Beis that when there's parts, multiple parts to a mitzvah, you count it all as one mitzvah, but the way, and so each of these vasisas can be seen as a part of something else, but not a part of making the mikdash, but rather a part of the mitzvah of avodah that you're going to do with that kli. Mm-hmm. Just like no one would count va'asulahem tzitzis al kanfei bigdehem as a separate mitzvah from the mitzvah of wearing tzitzis. There's a mitzvah of tzitzis. You have to make it first, and then you wear it.
The hechsher mitzvah,
right. So there's the mitzvah l'moshel of hadlokas neiros in the Beis HaMikdash. That includes making a menorah, because you can't be ma'atach the menorah unless you make it first. So va'asu menorah z'avtar is part of the mitzvah of hadlokah. Va'asu va'asisa shulchan asi shidim is part of the mitzvah of lachem aponim. There's a mitzvah of sidra lachem aponim, and that starts with making a shulchan. And the same with the mizbeches, there are karbonis. Those are all mitzvahs, but the hechsher to those mitzvahs is making the mizbechais. So the Ramban says, I agree with the Rambam that you don't count each vasisa as a separate mitzvah. But I don't think it's because it's included in Vasul Mikdash. It's included in the avoidais that those kelim are coming to prepare you for, coming to enable.
On the laving, every lamatas malachas, each one is a separate lav counted?
No. The lavim, the malachan Shabbos is one mitzvah.
One.
39 lavim, 39 malachas, but it counts as one mitzvah.
Didn't you say once that we don't count mitzvahs that are like one-shot deals? Like
yes.
That don't continue?
So yes.
So making the menorah, that was a one-time thing.
Right? Absolutely not.
No. In the Mishkan, but not in the Sfeinthal.
No, they made menorahs pretty regularly. I mean, I don't know how regularly, but the Gemara tells us, the Gemara says that when the Chashmonaim retook the Beis HaMikdash, they, of course, you know, their menorah was ruined. They built a new one out of wood. And then when they got a little wealthier, because they were too poor then to make it out of metal, then they made it out of a simple metal, then eventually they were able to make it out of gold. So, no, there were many mitzvahs, menorahs rather, and yeah, there's a mitzvah a day race to make a menorah whenever you need one. So this machlok is Rambam Ramban. I almost feel like it needs an apology attached to it. Because really, every time that we talk about the Sefer HaMitzvahs, that one can raise the objection that what does this really matter? When there's a machlokes is whether something is included or is not included in the minyan of mitzvahs, it never makes a nafkamina. You have a machlokes l'mashal, you know, we've had a machlokes rishonim, I think we've spoken about it at some point, about whether the mitzvah of tzitzis is one mitzvah or two. What's the two? There's the lavan and the tcheles. Is that two separate mitzvahs? So some of the minyan mitzvahs counted as two. But it has no nafkaminas. Everyone agrees that you need both if you could find them. Everyone agrees that you could wear one if you can't find the other, right? Like most people do today. So there's no nafkaminas. It's just a question of but what are the tarayag mitzvahs? So why do people even care? That's an interesting question. I think we also talked about that at a different time. But putting that aside, so you always have that when we talk about the minyan of mitzvahs, is a little bit of a complaint that one can bring that this doesn't really matter so much.
Yes.
Over here, it's compounded. Over here, we're talking about a machlaikis, Rambam Ramban, but it's not even a machlaikis about whether something should count or shouldn't count. They both agree that all of us thesis don't count in the minyan of mitzvahs. They just disagree about why. So this is like unimportant Sheba, unimportant. So why is this such an interesting discussion, or I hope it will be at least an interesting discussion, because the truth is that although it seems like a very obscure, trivial detail about why we're not counting Vasisa in the Minyan HaMitzvahs, underlying it is, I think, a very sadistic question about our whole understanding of Parshas Truma and Va'asu L'Mikdash. The Torah gives a mitzvah, Va'asu L'Mikdash, make a mikdash. Okay, why? Simple question, why? Well, why should there be a mikdash? So, that's true. That is the end of the pasuk. No, that's actually it's a very good ha'ara because that pasuk seems to support one of the two sides. But I think it's pretty well known that there's a machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban on a very basic level. What's the purpose of the mikdash? And again, this is not just the Mishkan in the Midbar. It's Bepashas. It's referring to the Beis HaMikdash. You know, this mitzvah commanded them to make a Mishkan originally, and then when they came to Eretz Yisrael to make a Mikdash, and again to make a Mikdash, and Allah said, love you to make a Mikdash. That mitzvah, what's the primary purpose of the mitzvah? The Ramban, I think the Ramban says the pshat that's more familiar to people. If you ask average man on the street, what's the purpose of the mitzvah of building a Beis HaMikdash, people would say, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be Sheir HaShechina, In Klal Yisrael, there's a lot of midrashim about, right, the Medrash of Parshas Truma says that I can't bear to depart from my Torah, so you have to build me a little room to take me along with you. Because Baruch Hu wants to, Kaviyachal, to dwell among Klal Yisrael. It's a testament to the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael that Baruch Hu wants to be attached to us, so that there should be Hashras Hashchina. So there's a mitzvah of making a mikdash. That's what the Ramban says. The Ramban says the purpose of the mitzvah of Vasul Mikdash is so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could be Shevi Hashchina. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says, the Rambam writes this in a few places, that the purpose of Vasul Mikdash is that there should be a place to bring the karbanos and a place to do the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Rayel. There are mitzvahs that require that require some kind of a special location. So make a mikdash so that you have where to bring the karbanos. And so the Rambam says in the Sefer Mitzvahs, Mitzvah Chaf, and also at the very beginning of Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Perak Aleph, Halacha Aleph, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to build a bayis l'Hashem muchon l'hakrav boi karbanos. That's how the Rambam introduces the mitzvah of Asulim Mikdash. It's a whole different take than the Ramban. The Ramban, according to the Ramban, of course the Ramban will agree that where do we bring the karbanos? We bring them in the Mikdash. But according to the Ramban, it's almost like we make a mikdash, even if there was no mitzvah of karbanos, we make a mikdash because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to kaviyachal to live with us. Now, then there's a mitzvah of bringing karbanos. So, we need a good place to bring karbanos. So what do you do? You have a base of mikdash here. Are you going to bring karbanos, what, in the shtibul chen meyashar? Like, you have to pick a good place. That is the best place. That's the place of Hashras HaShechita. So that's the place to bring the karbanos. But that's secondary. The reason for Vasulim Mikdash is Hashras HaShechina. And secondary to that, so that's where we'll bring the karbanos. According to the Rambam, the reason for the mitzvah is so that there should be a place to bring the karbanos. The Rambam may agree, I'm not even sure if he does, but the Rambam may agree that there's also the Hashras HaShechina, but he would say that's secondary. At most, that's secondary, according to the Rambam. So there's a big divide about what was the purpose of the mitzvah. One, I'll say nafkamina, I don't mean a nafkamina halacha, but a difference in understanding. The Ramban points out that the mitzvah of Vasul Mikdash makes up a big portion of Chumash Shemais. It comes right after the parashiyos of Matan Torah. According to those that understood, and he doesn't mention the Rambam by name, but according to those that understood that the purpose of the Mikdash is that there should be a place to bring the karbanos, you'd really think that it's more of a Vayikra topic. Vayikra is Teres HaKarbonis. So if you need the Mikdash to bring Karbonis, so let the mitzvah of building a Mikdash be a Sefer Vayikra. But according to the Ramban, that it's about the level of Kedusha that Klal Yisrael reached, because they came to Matan Torah, and they said Nasa V'Nishma, and they became a Mamlechet Kain of a Goy Kadosh, and as a result of that, Kedush Baruch Hu needs to be Mashash Chinasai B'Seicham, so then the logical, natural place for this mitzvah is here in Sefer Shemois, right after the parashah of Matan Torah. So you have this machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban about what's the purpose of the mikdash. That's a fundamental machlokes. So now that machlokes that we brought in kind of apologetically, right, is not terribly fundamental, but this machlokes about why the vasisa of the Shulchan and the Menorah are not counted as separate mitzvahs, and the Rambam and the Ramban gave different answers, is really following the Shittasam. The Rambam said that it's part of the mitzvah of Asulim Mikdash, that they're making a Shulchan, and a Mizbeach, and a Menorah are all part of the mitzvah of Asulim Mikdash. That, yeah, according to the Rambam, that Asulim Mikdash is about doing that, is about bringing Karbanos, is about doing the Lechem Apanim, is about the Hadlakas Neiros. The mitzvahs that we do in the Mikdash, that's what the mitzvah of Asulim Mikdash is for. So then you can include all of those in the mitzvah of Asulim Mikdash. According to the Ramban, that Va'asuli Mikdash is not about the Karbanos, and certainly it's not about the Hadlakas Neiros, not about the Lechem Apanim. Those are things that we do there, but that's not what that's secondary. The mitzvah of Asulim Mikdash is the Hashras HaShechina. So the Kalim are not really part of that. The Kalim are connected to their Avodos. So the Ramban can stick in, Shulchan with Lechem Apanim and Menorah with Hadlakas Neiros, but he can't stick them into Va'asuli Mikdash, because Va'asuli Mikdash is for Hashras HaShechina, not for the Avodah. Only the Rambam, who says that the Va'asul HaMikdash is for the Avodah, so then these Kalim could be included in Va'asul HaMikdash. So that Machlekes that we began with is really a reflection of a more fundamental Machlekes about what the Mikdash is really all about. Now, so coming back to the question of deciding what to count, what not to count in the minyan mitzvahs. So the Ramban said, the Ramban points out that another nafkamina between his explanation and the Rambam's, he talks about two. One simple one, we'll mention that one first, is there a mitzvah in the, again, this, certainly there's a obligation, but is there a mitzvah that counts in the Taryag mitzvahs of making the Big Day Kahuna? The Rambam includes that the 33rd mitzvah in his list of mitzvahs, right, it connects it to this week's parasha, right, is parasha Tetzaveh, right, of making the begadim la'aron la'vanav l'chavad l'safaris. The Rambam says that is mitzvah number 33 in the minyan of mitzvahs. Ramban says, that's not a mitzvah. Now, it's something you have to do, but it's not part of the minyan of mitzvahs. Like the Rambam, who the reason why he didn't count making the shulchan, making the menorah, is because he considered that part of making the mikdash, so I understand. When it came to the Big Day Kahuna, so it's kind of like, you know, like a shul president that's trying to figure out how far he could stretch the building fund, you know? You raise money, you call it the building fund. So you could use that for the roof and the walls, for sure. You could use that for the new furniture that you want to put in, you know, for the tables and the chairs. Yeah, you could use building fund money for that. Okay, you know, could I use building fund money then when I want to repair... I don't want to repair the bathroom because it's this the plumbing is stuffed. Can I call that building? It's attached to the building, you know. Can I call that building? You know, others might, the treasurer might say, no, that's to come from a different fund. So what about the begadim? Is the begadim part of the building? That's not the building. You can't stick that into Vasuli Mikdash. So the Rambam has a mitzvah Vasuli Mikdash, which covers the Shulchan, the Menorah, and the Mizbeach, but it can't cover the Big Day Kahuna. That's not the building. So that's a separate mitzvah.
It shouldn't be part of the Avodah.
Ah, but no, but the Rambam didn't consider anything to the Avodah. But the Ramban, who was, that's just what we're getting to. The Ramban who said that the Shulchan, the Menorah, the Mizbechais are all, they're not counted because they're considered a Hechsher for the Avodah. So he says, we say that for the Big Day Kahuna also. The Big Day Kahuna are also a prerequisite for the Avodah. Your Kohen needs to be wearing the, right, there's a mitzvah of bringing a Karban Olah. And to bring a Karban Olah, you need a Mizbeach. So, the Sisa Mizbeach is a tafel to that. To bring a carbon on the Mizbeach, you need a kohen wearing Big Day Kahuna. So the mitzvah of Big Day Kahuna is a tafel to that. The Ramban says that according to the Rambam, who counts it as a separate mitzvah, so he really, he's getting himself, he's opening a Pandora's box because it's just one mitzvah. There's, you know, there's a mitzvah for the kohen gadol to wear his 8 begadim. There's a mitzvah for the kohen to wear his 4 begadim. There's a mitzvah on Yom Kippur for the kohen gadol to wear his other begadim. So make a lot of mitzvahs out of it. Why is it just one mitzvah? But according to me, it's no mitzvahs. Each of those are hechsher for various avodas. There's a mitzvah of avodas yom kippurim, and for that you need the Big Day Lavan. There's the mitzvah of the avodas kohen gadol every day. For that you need the Big Day Zav. There's the mitzvah of the kohen hedid to do his avodah every day, and those are done with the Big Day kohen hedid. So the Ramban says that according to me, you don't have to count any Big Day Kahuna in the minyan of mitzvahs. According to the Rambam does count it, which l'shitasi makes sense. But the Ramban criticizes that if you're going to count them, you should really have to count a lot of them. Then the Ramban says a second nafkamina between his shot on the Rambam's, and this is really, this gets us into the larger discussion for the rest of the shir. The Ramban brings up the Arayin. The Arayin was, in a lot of ways, the most unique item in the Beis HaMikdash. And it's the first one that's talked about in Parshas Truma, Va'asu Arayin Atzei Shitim. Is that a mitzvah in the Targum mitzvahs? It's not counted. You don't find it on the Rambam's list. So why isn't it counted? So look, the Ramban, according to the Rambam, that the reason why he didn't count the Shulchan and the Menorah and the Mizbechais is all because they're all included in Vasu Mikdash, right? They're all part of the Beis HaMikdash. That includes the furniture. Okay, so then Rambam's good. He's, you know, there's no reason why the Arayin is any more problematic than the others. The same way he doesn't count the others, he shouldn't count the Arayin either, because that's also part of the furniture. But according to me, the reason not to count the Shulchan is because it's a hechsher for the avoida of Lachem Apanim. The reason not to count the Mizbeach is because it's a hechsher for the avoida of a Karbanos. So what am I going to say about the Arayin? Don't count the Arayin because it's a hechsher for what? They never did anything with the Arayin. What?
It's a hechsher for the mitzvah not to remove the bottom.
So that's hard to hear. You're right. There is a mitzvah involving the aron. In fact, there are actually two mitzvahs involving the aron. There's a mitzvah of not removing the bottom. There's also, that's the mitzvah like that. There's also a mitzvah that say of bakosev yisau, that said about the aron, that it's not allowed to be put onto the wagon. It has to be carried by hand. But it's hard to, I don't think anybody can make the argument that the purpose of building an aron is not to take the sticks out of it, or the purpose of building the aron is so that you carry it on your shoulder. That is, you can't call v'asu aron a hechsher for those. So, but there was no avodah that was ever done with it. It's sat there. I don't mean to say it was unimportant. It sat there, played a very important role. That's how Kosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu from there. V'nei adkid l'chashtam me'al ha-kapayres. But they never did anything with it. There was no avodah with the aron. So the Ramban says, my theory about why the individual kelim don't count as separate mitzvahs, it worked nicely for the shulchan, for the mizbeach, for the menorah, but it breaks down by the aron. Yeah. So the Ramban writes, this is in his Hasagos on Mitzvah Hasei Lamed Gimel in the Rambam. Ramban says, I think I'm going to have to add it to my list of mitzvahs. We know that there's some fluidity in the minyan of mitzvahs. The Ramban has a lot of Hasagos on the Rambam. Some things that the Rambam counts, he takes away, and some things that the Rambam doesn't count, he wants to add. So the Ramban says, this is going to be one of my changes. I have to add a mitzvah of making an aron. The Rambam didn't count it, which makes sense, l'shitasai, because all the kelim are part of Vasuli Mikdash. This could also be part of Vasuli Mikdash. But according to me, that all the other kelim are a heksher for their avoida. The aron, you can't call heksher for an avoida, so I have to count it. So I'm going to add this to my list. As the Ramban says. So this we're learning is the machleik is Rambam and Ramban, whether the Aron should count or shouldn't count in the minyan mitzvahs. According to the Rambam, it doesn't have to count because it's included in the Mikdash. According to the Ramban, it should count. But the truth is that both halves of this Tliya are very debatable. There's a lot of interest as we go through it. There's a lot of interesting inyanim to be ma'ayin in regarding the Aron. There's a lot of raid about the Aron. Someone once made a movie about it, right? Raid on the Lost Ark.
Yeah.
The Rambam, we're saying that according to the Rambam, the reason that he doesn't have to count the making of the Aron as a separate mitzvah because it can be included in Va'asuli Mikdash. But if you take a look in the Rambam's description of the mitzvah Asuli Mikdash, which is mitzvah Sasei Chof in the Rambam, he says that this is an inclusive mitzvah that includes a lot of details, such as, and he lists, the Shulchan and the Menorah and the Mizbeach. And then he adds a word, he says, Vizulasam, and some others. But he doesn't mention the Aron. He doesn't say that I'm not counting the Aron because it's included in this mitzvah. He says I'm not counting the Shulchan, the Mizbeach, and the Menorah because it's included in the mitzvah of making a Mikdash. And he says, and some others also. But it's hard to believe that he's referring to the Aron when he says Vizulasam. The Aron is not one of these like trivial miscellanea that he's, throw. If he was thinking of the Aron, you'd think he would have written the Aron. So it doesn't seem likely that he's referring to the Aron over there. And the truth is that, we're talking about what seems likely and what seems hard to believe about what he meant by Vizulasam, but the Rambam actually takes the guesswork out of it because the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira actually writes, we'll know for sure what he meant by Vizulasam because the Rambam writes, there are seven Klei HaMikdash. So he writes the number, right? So there's no making a mistake about his list. There are seven Klei HaMikdash, and he lists them. The Mizbech HaOila, that was the outdoor Mizbeach where they brought almost all the Karbanis. The ramp to the Mizbech HaOila, that's one of the seven Kelim. The Kiyar, that's the basin from which the Kohanim wash their hands and their feet. The base of the basin, Kiyar V'Kanoi, right? So that's the base of the basin. I'm not sure if it's a better word for that. Then there's the inside Menorah, that's the Mizbech HaZov, where they brought the Ketores, the Mizbech HaKetores, he calls it, and the Shulchan, the Lechem HaPanim, and the Menorah. Those are the seven Klei HaMikdash. Which means that we now know that when he wrote in the Sefer HaMitzvahs that the mitzvah of making a mikdash includes the Shulchan and the Menorah and the Mizbeach Vizulasam. So the Zulasam meant the Kiyar and the Kan of the Kiyar and the Kevesh of the Mizbeach. Those were thrown in, and we hear why those are thrown in. Those are not, big letter kinds of things. Those are kind of miscellaneous things. But the Aron is not included. So why is the Aron not on the Rambam's list? First, in the Sefer Mitzvahs, he doesn't say that that's included in the Mitzvah of the Mikdash. And in Hilchos Beis Bechira, he doesn't say that that's one of the Kli HaMikdash. So the truth is, if you continue turning pages there in Hilchos Beis Bechira, all the other Kelim, he tells you about making them and how they're made and what they're made out of and what its dimensions are and what are the rules for how to make it. The Aron gets mentioned at the beginning of Perek Daled, but in a very different way. He doesn't come and say, you should make an Aron and here's how you do it. He says that in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there was a big rack, and that rack is where they put the Aron. Like he refers to the Aron as a fact, as a historical fact, that he refers to the fact that there was an Aron. He never tells you this is what you should do, but he says that's where the Aron was, and then he goes on to say, and under that rock were secret tunnels and passageways, and in the times of Yeshio HaMelech, he used those tunnels and passageways to hide the Aron, and therefore it's not available anymore, and they didn't have it in the second Beis HaMikdash. Mm-hmm. He tells the history of the Aron. He never tells a mitzvah of the Aron. Mm-hmm. The implication of the Rambam is that there's no mitzvah of Aron. It's a artifact. There was a thing called an Aron, but it's not part of the mitzvahs of Klal Yisrael. What does that mean? What it seems is that he held that it was only meant to be made once, meaning Moshe Rabbeinu was told to make an Aron. And then it was something that Klal Yisrael was supposed to hold on to. And for as long as we had it, there was never a mitzvah, certainly not l'dayreis, there was never a mitzvah l'dayreis to make an Aron. Like you mentioned before, are these things naive l'dayreis altogether? So certainly, yeah, we find in history that they were continually remaking, the Menorah that Gemara tells about a lot of remakes, but all of the Kelim, We read in Mishnayos about backups that they had and about what they would do if it would get broken. They had to maintain them and they had to replace them if they got broken. The Aron, no, we never find discussion about such things, but on the contrary, we find that after Yeshio hid the first one, so they didn't replace it. The second Beis HaMikdash didn't have an Aron. If they didn't have the old one and they couldn't find it, so why didn't they make a new one? So the Mashmos says that there's no such mitzvah. There's all the other things in the Beis HaMikdash the Rambam understood as mitzvahs. The Aron, the Rambam understood as a story. It was something that they had, that Moshe Rabbeinu helped them make, and they had it, but they tried to hold on to it. But there wasn't a mitzvah to have it. And therefore it's not in the Minyan Mitzvahs. So it's interesting that we had, when we were learning the Ramban, we said that it seems from the Ramban that according to him, you need to include it in the Minyan Mitzvahs. But according to the Rambam's reason, it doesn't need to be included because it's part of Asur LeMikdash. It seems though, from reading the Rambam, that while it's true that the Rambam doesn't include it in the Minyan Mitzvahs, but it's not for the reason that we thought, which is that it will be included in Vasuli Mikdash, but rather it's because the Rambam holds it's not a mitzvah at all. Mm-hmm. It's just not a mitzvah. That's why it's not part of the Minyan Mitzvahs. That's the chiddush that seems to come out of this, again, is not including in the list of the Klei HaMikdash and then referring to it only in story fashion in Perek Daled. Now, the other side of the Tzliyah was the Ramban. The Ramban said, but according to me, it does have to be included. And we understood why, because his whole reason not to include in his minyan and mitzvahs, not to include the shulchan, the menorah, and the mizbech, is because each of them are viewed as being a hechsher for a different avodah. Mm-hmm. So to the big tikkunah, the Ramban said, I don't include it in my minyan and mitzvahs because it's a hechsher for an avodah. But the Aron, it's not a hechsher for any avodah, so I better add it to my minyan and mitzvahs. But then a funny thing happened. The Ramban never actually gives us an exhaustive list, like a list that goes from 1 till 613. But what the Ramban did do is, at the end of each of the two sections of the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos, at the end of the Mitzvah Sasei, that is supposed to be number 248, and the end of the Lois Sasei, that are 365, the Ramban said, let me tell you the ones that are now missing according to me. Meaning, he was giving a running commentary, and along the way, he said, I disagree with this one, I disagree with that one, and he subtracted a bunch of mitzvahs from the Rambam's list. He also, at times, added some mitzvahs to the Rambam's list. And then, at the end of each of the two sections, he says, okay, so now I have a deficit of X, right? He tells you a number, so I'm going to tell you which ones I include that the Rambam left out. So, at the end of the Mitzvahs essay in the Sefer Mitzvahs, there's a section called the Shikchas HaEssen, right? The forgotten essays. The Ramban's writing. The Ramban says, these are the essays that the Rambam left out. And he includes 60, he has a list of 16. And he talks about each one at some length. There are really only two on that list that are famous, that often get talked about in Shirim. One, probably the most famous, is the Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So there's a lot of very passionate debate about the Rambam and Ramban about Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. It's on the Ramban's list of additional essays that the Rambam forgot. And another one is Birchas HaTorah, that the Ramban adds to his Minyan HaMitzvos and the Rambam didn't. And there are a number that are, I guess, I don't want to say trivial, right? You know, all words of Torah are Dibur Lichem Chaim, but things that are less of a general interest, more like, you know, details that are of interest, I guess, only when you're learning the sugya. But for example, he says that the Isser Asay of doing business with Peiris Shvius, the Rambam didn't count as Minyan HaMitzvahs, but I think it should be counted in the Minyan HaMitzvahs. The Isser Asay of being Termin Ara La Yafeh, also the Rambam left out, and I think it should be counted. So you have, you know, a collection of some obscure mitzvahs and a couple of high-profile mitzvahs. But Lamaise, if you look through the list, he doesn't have Vasu Arain Atzishitim. He didn't put that on his list of additional mitzvahs asay. He promised that he would. In mitzvahs asay Lamed Gimel, in his notes, in his astugas on the Rambam, he said, I'm going to add this to my list. But then when he actually got to his list, he left it out. So I don't know if there's a way to reconcile how they could both be right simultaneously. What I think seems likely is that he had some kind of a change of heart. At one time, when he was writing on Mrs. Elam Gimel, he thought, yeah, this should be included. He maybe made a note for himself. He put it on his post-it, I'm going to add it. When he got to the end, so then he had a lot of post-its, and then he reconsidered all of them and decided which ones he really is going to include, and that one didn't make the final cut. So he ultimately decided not to include the mitzvah of making an Aroin in his Minyan HaMitzvahs. So why not? So one possibility is what we were talking about before. The Rambam didn't include it, not for the reason that we first thought, that it was included in Vasli Mikdash, right, which surely you can't say according to the Ramban, but for a whole different reason, because it's not a real mitzvah, or at least it's certainly not a mitzvah l'day reis. So maybe the Ramban liked that svara.
Can you say it's included with the whole group?
Which ones? All the Kalim, the Ramban doesn't count. He leaves all of them out, but all the others were for a good reason. Each one is a heksha for a different avoda. But this was the only one that he was going to include. So now, to say that he didn't consider it a mitzvah day race, it was just something that Moshe Rabbeinu made and it was never remade after that. So the Ramban, again, anything is possible, because if we're saying he may have changed his mind, so I can't ask on him from what he wrote earlier, but the Ramban actually mounted a strong argument against that. The Ramban, in Mr. Seylam Gimel, he said that I don't agree with the theory that Asiyas Ha'arayin is not a mitzvah l'dayreis. He says, first of all, like you mentioned before, we have, you mentioned the pulling out of the Badim, and the Ramban doesn't mention that one. He mentions the other, but I think it's the same point. It's like the Ramban, we do have mitzvahs l'dayreis that are negeya to the Arayin. He mentions the Bakasif Yisau, and you also have the Lo Yasuru Mimenu. It's like the Ramban, how could there be a mitzvah l'dayreis involving the Arayin if the Arayin itself is not a mitzvah l'dayreis? So he had that's like, I guess, kind of a legalistic argument.
Is like a Mishnah considered? Because
yeah,
that That's a mitzvah for this week, but it's from the Mishkan.
That is a mitzvah of Dayreis, sure.
So that would be considered.
Yes, that counts. Everyone includes that on their list of 613 mitzvahs, yeah. But the Ramban says he has a stronger or another argument that he makes, which is, I would say, maybe a more philosophical argument, just legalistic. He said that which we were saying before, that there's no mitzvah to replace it. And we even brought a riot. Look, in the second base mitzvah, they didn't replace it. They didn't have it, and they didn't replace it. The Ramban holds chas v'shalom. Of course, it's a mitzvah. And if there wouldn't be an Arayin, of course we would have to make a new Arayin, and we would open the Chumash Parshas Teshuvah to see what the Arayin is supposed to look like, and we'll make an Arayin that looks exactly like that. The reason why it was never replaced is because it was never destroyed. And when Yoshio hid it, that's not the same as destroying it. That means we still had it, and we were choosing to keep it somewhere hidden. So, but if, he said, if Chas V'Shalom it ever would have happened, that the enemy would have captured the Arayin and destroyed it, then there would be Chalanas a mitzvah to make a new one. So he argued very strongly that it is a mitzvah of Dayreis, and he brought two rayas to it. So it seems hard to say that later, you know, no. That the reason why he eventually didn't count is because he decided, you know what, maybe it's not a mitzvah of Dayreis. So there's maybe a more likely explanation that... It's based on some discussion that in the Achrayim. I'm going to mention a very interesting Shtigl Torah that we know from a letter. There's a sefer called the Zera Avram, which is the Avram of the Zera Avram is Avram Luftover. He was the son. His name is not well known. He was certainly, you know, from the great Talmid Chachamim a little over 100 years ago. He was the son-in-law of Rav Meir Simcha Kain. The Arsameach, the Meshech Chachma, had one child, a daughter, and she married this Avram Luftover.
Luftover.
And he died young. He died, she never remarried. There is no offspring from the Meshech Chachma. He had this one child, she never had any children. But his son-in-law, the Zera Avram, the Avram Luftover, he died with no children. But they posthumously they published an exchange of letters that he had almost exclusively with Menachem Zemba. Menachem Zemba is a somewhat more well-known name. He was also he didn't live to become one of the Ziknei Hadar, and then he would have become more famous as a Man of Yisrael. But he was quite famous at his time. He was. Still relatively young, but before World War II, he was recognized as being one of the outstanding Talmidei Chachamim of Poland. He was a Ger Chassid. He and his whole family were killed in the Warsaw Ghetto. So from him also, there's very little Zecher. He had, I think, a lot of writings, and most of it was destroyed. There's one small Sefer on Shabbos that was published. And I think more recently, somebody put out some other stuff that's been found of his. But the two of them, these two very big Talmidei Chachamim, Rav Menachem Zemba and Rav Avram Luftover, were pen pals. They had an extensive correspondence in learning, mostly in Inyanei Kachim, long, long letters that, you know, each one, big Shtiklach Torah with a big Chidushim, with a lot of pilpul, you know, going through, you know, bringing in like hundreds of Maror Mekoyimos. Very, very scholarly letters that they would send back and forth to one another. And this collection of letters was published. It was published, you know, after Avram Luftover died, and it was titled Zera Avram, because that's, you know, that's the only Zecher, you know, offspring, so to speak, that we have from him. So it was published. And in Chelik Beis of that Sefer, so there's some other letters involving him also. And over there, there's a letter published that he got from his illustrious father-in-law. His father-in-law was Rav Meir Simcha. He was recognized as one of the Gedolei Adar. And he writes a letter to Rav Avram Luftover, a nachas letter. He says that I got so much nachas. I was sitting and talking with a yid, and he told me over a vart in your name. And it was such a beautiful vart. I enjoyed it so much. He really compliments the vart very highly before saying that it's wrong. That it's a, but you know, you can see a little bit about his personality. Like, he didn't say, somebody told me that you said such and such, and what are you talking about? No, he says it was so nice, it was so beautiful, and I felt so, you know, fortunate that I had, I was zeichet to have such a son-in-law. Just, I have this kasha, and with that he shlugs it up.
Sounds like my mother-in-law.
That's pretty good.
That's... compliment.
Okay. Yeah, I actually thought from this letter that he sounded like a very good father-in-law. Anyway, so but he was the vart. Rum Lufthaver talked about the fact that the Chanukas Habayis of the first base of Mikdash in time of Shlomo HaMelech was done the week before Sukkot. The Gemara tells us, the Gemara that learns that, they didn't make it on Sukkot, he made it the week before Sukkot. Now, the week before Sukkot includes a major Jewish holiday, Yom Kippur. That year, so the Gemara says, that year there was no Yom Kippur. They didn't fast on Yom Kippur because they were partying because it was the Chanukah Sabayis. So why did they have to make the Chanukah Sabayis dafka then? Okay, they, I understand they didn't make it a week later. The Gemara says, but make it a week earlier, make it 2 weeks later. Like, why couldn't they do it Chanukah time? Chanukah is a nice time for a Chanukah Sabayis. You know, why do they have to make it dafka on Yom Kippur? So Rav Avraham Lufthaver had a einfall. He said Shlomo HaMelech was being mechanich the Beis HaMikdash. Mechanich means inaugurating it, right? Giving, installing it with its kedusha.
Yeah.
Now the rule is that kol klei shareis avodason mechanchason. The avoid of a klei shareis is mechanichet, meaning the way that you let's say if there's a new menorah. So how do you make the menorah good? How do you turn it into a klei shareis? By using it. By the first time that you do the avoda, that installs the kedusha of klei shareis. So Avraham Lufthaver said that Shlomo HaMelech was making the Chanukah on the Beis HaMikdash. He wanted to be mechanech the whole thing all at once. He wanted to do it at a time that he could be mechanech every part of the Beis HaMikdash. He didn't want to, let's see, he would have made a Chanukah time. If he would have used, let's say, half the kalim, and the other half of the kalim weren't going to be used till 3 months later, so he would be like in the middle of the. He wanted to be once and for all be mechanic everything. So most things he used all the time: the menorah, the shulchan, the mizbech, he used every day. But there's one kli in the Beis HaMikdash that it's good only avoda is on Yom Kippur, and that is the Aron, because Avraham Lufthaver said because. The Kohen Gadol would come in, he would the dam of the par and the sire, and he would sprinkle the blood of the par and the sire towards the Arayin. In that capacity, the Arayin was serving like a Mizbeach. Just like every Karban, you sprinkle the blood on the Mizbeach, over here, you're sprinkling the blood on the Arayin. So this is an Avoida that was done with the Arayin. We were saying before, there was no Avoida done with the Arayin. But Rav Lufthaver thought that you could consider the Zrikas Dam Par V'Soyer as an Avoida that's done with the Arayin. And since it was only done one day a year, Yom Kippur, so if Shlomo HaMelech made his Chanukah Sabayis on Yom Kippur, he could really be Mechanich the whole Beis HaMikdash. But if he would have made it on Chanukah L'Mashal, then he would have been Mechanich most things then, and then 10 months later he would have gotten around to be Mechanich the last part. He wanted to do it neatly, properly, everything all at once. So the only way to do that is on Yom Kippur. So that was the vart that Rameir Simcha heard b'shem his son-in-law, and he thought it was really a very clever chap, and he liked the chiddush that you could consider the Arayin to be an avoida involving you could consider the zrikas dam par v'sarya as an avoida involving the Arayin, but he said there's a flaw in your Dvar Torah.
They didn't do Yom Kippur that year.
That's an interesting R. I think Gemara says they didn't do Yom Kippur, but I guess he's assuming, and this is probably Mustafa, that just means they didn't do the fast. Yeah. They didn't do the fasting.
Avoid this whole part of
Nice R. It's a nice R. He's certainly assuming that even though they weren't fasting, they were still doing the Avoida. It's maybe a nice topic for Shabbos Shuvah Drasha.
It must be a father in law.
What? That's no, and towards the Arayin. Both from the later on, they went from the Kodesh towards the Pareches. But when he was in the Kodesh Kedoshim, it was towards the Arayin. So, he said the flaw in your vart is that they didn't have to be mechanich the Arayin. Shlomo HaMelech, he had to be mechanich all the new stuff, and he built a new bias. He had to be mechanich the bias. And he built new menorahs and new mizbech. He has to be mechanic all those things. But the Arayin wasn't a new Arayin. He was using Moshe Rabbeinu's Arayin. So he didn't have to be So you didn't need a chinuch of the Arayin. He said that if we'll accept your vart, so maybe we could just amend it a little bit, go with your vart in principle, and just say that since there were not only the Kalim, but even the Bayis need a Chanukah, so maybe the Kodesh Kedoshim needs its own Chanukah. And that can only happen on Yom Kippur. The rest of the days of the year it couldn't, but on Yom Kippur you can mechanech the Kodesh Kedoshim also. So that's why they waited for Yom Kippur. You're basically your vert, but I'm just adjusting it a little bit. Okay, Ad Kan the letter. And again, he says that he really loved what he heard from, you know, in his son-in-law's name, but he had this kasha on it. But now, this Ravam Lifshiver was assuming a big chiddush, not like the Ramban. He was considering, the Ramban said there is no avodah done with the Arayin. Ravam Lifshiver said, once a year there is an avodah done with the Arayin. This week is Dam Parvasahir is an avodah with the Arayin. Now, it is really debatable, because, like you pointed out, Beryl, the Dam didn't have, it wasn't quite like the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach, they were Zerik the Dam on the Mizbeach. Over here, there is Zerik the Dam towards the Arayin. The Lashon of the Mishnah is V'im Nagu Nagu. Like, it didn't matter if it hit or it didn't hit. You had to pour, you know, sprinkle it towards the Arayin, and if it hit, it hit. If it didn't hit, it didn't hit. But the Avodah was equally kosher whether it hit or it didn't hit. So maybe one can argue that that's really not an Avodah with the Arayin. That the Arayin is just the background to the Avodah. Okay, that's debatable. If it's debatable, so I think we could very well speculate that that was the Ramban's suffix. The Ramban once wrote on a post-it that I'm going to add Va'asu Arayin to my list of mitzvahs because it can't call it a Hechshvar and Avodah because there was no Avodah with the Arayin. And then apparently when he got around to collecting those post-its and making his minion, you know, the Shikhas HaEssen, he decided not to include it. So maybe because then he decided that there is an Avodah with the Arayin and the Va'asu Arayin is a Hechshvar for that Avodah. What's this Avodah? That first he thought is not considered an avodah with Arayin. Then he can decide it is considered an avodah with the Arayin. Is the avodah of the Zrikas Dam Parvas Ayir. This in the Sefer Mikdash David, which is a Sefer on Kutchim from David Rappaport. David Rappaport was the co-Rosh Yeshiva in Baranovich together with Elchanan Wasserman, and he was a Kutchim specialist. He has a very lumdish Sefer on Kutchim, and he talks about a very similar question, not about the Arayin, but he brings down in the Yushalmi. There was a machlekes about the Urge HaPareches, the women that wove the Pareches. This is in the second base of Mikdash. Believe it or not, the Pareches was replaced regularly in the second base of Mikdash, either once a year or twice a year. And so people had a job of weaving the Pareches. So the Yushalmi has a machlekes between, I think, Shmuel and Rav Huna. Where did they get their salary from? Did they get their salary from the Chumas HaLishka or from the Bedek HaBayis?
Building fund on this.
Right. So now the Bedek HaBayis, that's a building fund. But the Chumas HaLishka, that's a Karbonis fund. So Rav David Rappaport said, what's the machlekes about whether or not it comes from the Chumas HaLishka? It's the Pashas come from the Bedek HaBayis. It's the Bayis. The only Karbonis come from the Chumas HaLishka. That means the Shkolim, from the Machzor HaShekel fund. That's for Karbonis. It's sad that it could come from the Machzor HaShekel fund, from the Chumas HaLishka, is if you consider it to be involved in the Avodah of Karbonis. So what's the Machlaikis? What Avodah was it involved in? Well, on Yom Kippur, they were Zerik, the Dam of the Power and the Sayer. Again, we mentioned before, we were just talking about throwing the Dam towards the Mizbeach, but after he retreated out of the Kodesh Kedoshim, then he took back the Dam of the Power of the Power and the Sayer, and he was Zerik it towards the Pareches. So is that considered an avodah with the pareches? The pareches is playing a mizbeach-like role. Then it can come from the Chumas HaLishka. Then it's part of a karban. But if not, if it's just the setting for the kohen's avodah, then it's part of the building fund. Then it's come from the Bedek HaBayis. So the David Rappaport said that it's actually a machlekes in the Yushalmi whether you consider this an avodah with the pareches. So by the same token, you could declare whether it's considered and whether the Arayin was considered, this was considered an Avodah with the Arayin or not. So maybe that was the suffix of the Ramban, and he ultimately decided that, yeah, it could be considered an Avodah, and that's why I don't have to count Va'asu Arayin as a separate mitzvah, because it's tuffle to the Avodah of the Zvikas Dam Parvasar and Yom Kippur. That's one possibility. I want to end with another possibility, which is maybe more likely, about why the Ramban ended up deciding not to count Va'asu Arayin. we started off that the Rambam doesn't have to count any of these things because, right? He says they're all included in making the Mikdash. You make a Mikdash, and that includes all the Kelim. But we said that's the Rambam Shitasai, that the purpose of making a Mikdash is to do the Avodah. So the Shulchan and the Menorah and the Mizbeach, those are all things that you used to do the Avodah. So they're all included in make a Mikdash. The Ramban didn't like that Rambam, because we said it's a very fundamental machlokes. Because according to the Ramban, the purpose of making a Beis HaMikdash is not to do the Avodah. The purpose of making a Beis HaMikdash is for Hashras HaShechina, and the Shulchan, the Menorah, and the Mizbechais don't really, aren't part of that process. They don't contribute to that role, and therefore they can't be included in Vasuli Mikdash. But the Arayin, maybe the Arayin actually is part of that process. The Ramban in Parshas Truma says that the primary, and we say that Kadosh Baruch Hu's Mashva HaShechina in the Mikdash, and the epicenter, so to speak, you know, the most concentrated place of that, I think his lashon is Iker Menuchas HaKavod, is on the Arayin. Zok the Ramban, that's why Vasu Arayin comes first. The Ramban is explaining the Hemshech HaParshis, the whole mitzvah comes after Matan Torah, because as a result of Matan Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to be Mashal Shechinasi, so that's why Parshas Truma comes next. And he starts with the Arayin, because that's the ultimate of the Hashras HaShechina. And I think Ramban's Talmidim, I think Rabbeinu Bachya, elaborate further that that's why, you know, we find in Parshas Vayakal Pekudei that when Bezalel was actually making it, so he made the Mishkan and then the Arayin. But when Moshe Rabbeinu was being Mitzavi, he put the Arayin before the Mishkan, he put the Kelim in general before the Mishkan. The idea is because that's Moshe Rabbeinu was talking about what's most primary, what's most important. So in that sense, the Ramban is saying that the Arayin is most important because that's where the Hashras HaShechina is. So in that, if that's true, then maybe the Arayin is the one kli that could be included in Vasuli Mikdash. So all the other Kelim, the Ramban rejected the Rambam's argument that they're included in Vasuli Mikdash. But when it comes to the Arayin, he could accept the Rambam's argument. Now, I think that's a good svara, and that would explain why the Ramban ended up deciding not to count Vasuli Mikdash as a separate mitzvah. Lefize, I can't tell you what's the two sides of the debate, why he first, like we were describing, he wrote on a post that yes to include it, he first thought he would include it, and then he decided not to. I don't know, but he, you know, what he was writing earlier was that my reason for not counting the Shulchan Aruch doesn't apply to the Arayin. So I should add it. But then he ended up deciding that although my reason for the Shulchan Aruch doesn't apply for the Arayin, but the Rambam's reason for not counting the Shulchan Aruch, that one, according to me, does apply dafka to the Arayin. So that's probably the better reason why the Ramban ends up not counting the Arayin in the Minyan Mitzvahs. Yeah.